such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning in. It's Wednesday. It's a brain-wrinkling Wednesday, so that means you're stuck with Father Tom Coys here. Brain wrinkler par excellence.
Holy, here we go again, Batman.
That's it. Unfortunately, I'm fighting a cold, so I might have to cough or blow my nose a few times. But anyways, we'll get through it. And it's going to take more than a little cold to stop us from saving the world, right?
We're on a mission from God.
This is what we are. We're on a mission from God. I want to tread into a topic, an area that I'm very uncomfortable with, and that's kind of scary in one way if you're a radio talk show person.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, no, Will Robinson.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing to go into an area. Excuse me one more. There we are. What I'm referring to is the mystics, and one of the great topics of discussion amongst, shall we say, those who put a lot of faith in the mystics and read the mystics. And that is, since this coming Saturday is May 13th, it's the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. You can't help but think about the messages of Fatima, and especially the third secret, as well as what is not exactly in the Fatima messages the Blessed Mother gave to Sister Lucia, but it's something we talk about, and it's in other kinds of mystics, and that is what we call the 3 days of darkness. I'm curious, and I'll bet you are too. I had to refresh myself a little bit of the basic elements of these stories, share them with you. We take them with a lot of faith. And how are we supposed to take them? That's a big question. And I don't want to say that, the church hasn't declared either in a definitive interpretation of the third secret of Fatima, nor has there been a declaration of authenticity or a certain type of interpretation of the 3 days of darkness, but it's worth listening to, right? It's worth having that these things in our minds as we pray. They come from reputable, powerful leaders in the church, and one of them is Saint Padre Pio, who is so reputable and so honest and so revered. It's hard to imagine him lying. And you know, it's kind of like what I often think of when I think of the secret of the Annunciation to our Blessed Mother. Remember in the Bible where it says a sign will be given. And in the Old Testament, that King Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. We always hear that on the Feast of the Annunciation. And it comes usually in Advent, right? And I sympathize with that king because the king says, I'm not going to demand a sign from God. That's often what is an act of humility, you know. We pray for things, and but if we don't get them, we're not supposed to turn away from God. Though that story has sort of the opposite effect. When you're asked to ask for a sign and you don't ask for a sign, what that king was doing was he wasn't putting his faith in the prophet, the one who was asking him to ask for a sign. And so often our faith does come down to, well, I believe this because I trust this person. That's a lot of what we have about the virgin birth. We could say it about the Immaculate Conception as well, but when Mary is told she's going to have a child, that's going to be the sign. A virgin giving birth to a child is the sign. I'm always impressed.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's super brain wrinkling. No doubt. I'm always impressed with the fact that that is a very bad sign. If you wanted to give the world a sign, and you gave the world a sign of a virgin giving birth, who would know? Even if Mary proclaims, hey, I had no relations with a man, and everybody would doubt her. In essence, the only way you would come to believe that the Lord came through a gift of the Holy Spirit to a virgin rests completely on the believability of Mary, who's telling you that. And I think that's got to be the way St. Joseph felt when Mary said, you got to believe me. I didn't have any relation with any other man. This was an angel that came, and it's a miraculous pregnancy. Joseph, being obviously, we remember the story, warned in a dream and given confidence that he can trust her word. He believed in X, Y, and Z, especially this X, namely that she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. It was totally because of his trust in her character, which just kind of shows so much how important our character is, right? How we try to guard our character. It's worth almost all the gold in the world, right? It is. Sometimes when I try to strengthen people, even in confession, if they're especially fighting very difficult matters and seeming like others are prospering more than they are, others who are not so religious, others who are not so faithful, you know, your brother-in-law, your sister, your this or that, you see some people having a better life, a richer life than you. I like to remind people, remember that the greatest possession you can have is a good reputation. If they think of you as a holy, honest, and trustworthy person, that's worth more than all the summer homes and exotic vacations and fancy cars and fancy dinners and all the rest, as it were, right? So that's kind of the genre that we got to approach these mystical messages and mystical prophecies. First let's tackle the third secret of Fatima. And I'm going to depend a lot on a wonderful article on Catholic Answers. I hope you have that one in your favorite list, Catholic Answers. You can get a lot of good information on there. And Jim Atkins is one of the lead personalities there, good theologian. So let's review some of the basics of Fatima since this coming Saturday, if you're listening on Wednesday. What is today? Today is the 10th. But of course, you can listen on podcast, and it may be after May 13th or before, whatever, doesn't matter. Still worth our meditation. Anyways, so Jim Atkins of Catholic Answers says, we know what the text of the third secret is because it's been released. It was released by Pope John Paul II towards the end of his pontificate. And it had previously been in the custody of Joseph Ratzinger, who obviously became Pope Benedict XVI. And so unless you're going to say that John Paul II or Benedict XVI are unworthy of trust, if they think they're lying about their interpretation, and obviously John Paul II is already a canonized saint, we're going to have to say, well, we know what the text is. And the text was a vision, and it involved a number of elements, but it was a vision of a bishop in white leading a group of people through a war-torn city who were then martyred by soldiers firing at them and angels blessing their souls as they go up to heaven, as an angel wields a flaming sword and threatens the earth with it and urges people to repent. That's part of the vision that the Blessed Mother gave to Lucia at Fatima way back in 1917, okay? So, and obviously John Paul II and Benedict are much more recent, of course, and so they're keeping these secrets. Let's do a little bit of the historical research here. So Jim Atkins of Catholic Answer goes on. This is something that they're when you ask what does the vision mean, we have the vision. So obviously you want to ask what does it mean, and he readily admits that there's, you can have different views about its meaning, right? The vision comes, kind of remind you of dream analysis, right? Sometimes it's kind of an interesting thing to spark a conversation with somebody. Do you remember any of your dreams? What have you dreamed lately?
No! Goodness,
I haven't shared many dreams lately. I think after the first 5 minutes after you're up, you sort of forget them. You might think of them in those first few moments after you wake up. But and of course, I wake up alone until I see people out in church or somewhere. But those who are married might have someone to bounce off their dreams with. It's important, I think, to realize it's very slippery. It's very difficult to interpret dreams like that or visions. But they may guide us and they may help us. So it's not silly to try to interpret it, and it's certainly not silly to try to interpret what Blessed Mother gave to St. Lucia. So it's important to know that there's no official teaching on what this third secret vision means. In fact, you don't have to accept it at all. And you certainly don't have to accept one interpretation over the other. But if you want to be reasonable about it, this is Jim Atkins again, it needs to be read in the context of other things that St. Lucia said. And the interpretation of it that was given by Sister Lucia, because she's the visionary. If anybody's going to know what the vision means, you'd think it would be her. So that's James Atkins taking a rather intellectual approach to it, not going out too far, not sticking his head out too far to accept one interpretation over the other, but going, so we have to know.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, we should know what Sister Lucia says. We should know what Pope John Paul II said in order to evaluate it, right? Here we go. Saint Sister Lucia relates this vision of a bishop, a white dressed in white and being shot down by soldiers. She relates that to the Cold War. And certainly, it's very valid. Remember, if this came at the beginning of the 1900s, and now we're already past the 1900s, we're in the 21st century, we can see just raw data that more people had been executed in the 20th century, the 1900s, than just about any other century. So Sister Lucia certainly on solid ground if she's saying she's relating it to the Cold War, right? I think that for us today, I'm just going to throw this in. If nothing else, if all else, we have to see the importance of the struggle that the Catholic faith has with atheistic communism. And it's just wreaking havoc if we don't appreciate that great struggle, even though the Cold War, you could say, is sort of over. It's morphed. It's transformed. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to some people from Europe, especially from Eastern Europe, Polish people especially, who ran away from Europe because they were sick and tired of the communist boot that would stamp out human freedom, come to the United States, and they see it more clearly than just so many others that the same errors of communism are being planted here in the precious United States. Can't help but remember, I'm pretty sure it was when President Trump was still president, and he's just sort of declared, the United States will never be a socialist nation. And I was glad to hear him say that, but I think there's a lot of people who are opposed to him because they do put more faith in a communist socialist.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Indeed. So here, let me go one more paragraph with Jim Atkins. We'll take our break after this, okay, Nick? Sister Lucia related to the Cold War. She related it to Russia and how Russia was spreading communism throughout the world and that this ideology was causing wars and martyrdoms. And that would even lead to the assassination attempt of a pope, Pope John Paul II. Lucia firmly believed that his being shot was definitely related to that vision she had, and could threaten nuclear war. That situation, the Cold War, could threaten nuclear war, which is what almost everybody understood during those times, and how we have to do everything we can to prevent a nuclear war, right? In fact, Sister Lucia, in a set of interviews, said that there would have been a nuclear war in the 1980s. So she admitted that she thinks there would have been a nuclear war in the 1980s. But John Paul II did a special act of spiritual consecration that prevented the nuclear war. That's beautiful, isn't it? His trust in Mary and wanting the world to be consecrated.
That, yep. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
And so that's how Sister Lucia interpreted this vision. So in Jim Atkins' ads, frankly, I don't see any good reason to deviate from her interpretation. It seems like a natural understanding of the symbolism that's involved in the vision. And it's endorsed by her and by John Paul II, who is one of the key figures in this prophecy, of course. So I think that's the most reasonable interpretation, according to Jim Atkins of Catholic Answers, right? Let's continue on with some of the basics. And as we approach the Feast of Our Lady Fatima on May 13th, we'll at least to be aware of the basics. And we pray that the right interpretation will come, and we pray for the right protection. We pray for our proper response, no matter what will happen in the future, what we have to do today ourselves. So I'm Father Tom Coyes, I'm guest host on The Winds of Change, the new Catholic radio voice for EWTN in Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM, and we are WNDZ AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you. As I said at the top of the hour, swimming in seas that are somewhat unfamiliar with me. I'm more trained as a philosopher / moral theologian / pastoral padre, priest, as it were. But I'm talking about the third secret of Fatima, since May 13th is right around the corner.
Holy Long John Silver!
And what such things can mean, because here's one. One thing, as I did my research, I got a little scared. And I think we should be a little scared. If we're not a little bit of scared, we're maybe not filled with the Holy Spirit, shall we say. We can't lose our sense of confidence. We can't lose our sense of joy. We can't lose our sense that
my
God
Lord,
is ultimate victor.
Such destruction.
But there is the great possibility of the wrath of God coming down upon the world. That's bottom line, as it were. And the reason for my fear has almost everything to do with the trustworthiness of some of these people that are behind the visions. So let's continue with the third secret of Fatima. We could almost put the visions of Fatima to the side, and then there are other mystics with kind of nearing equal trustworthiness, especially like Father Padre Pio. Of course, that's redundant, Father Padre Pio. Padre Pio. What a reputable, trustworthy guy he turns out to be. As a matter of fact, another priest of today, I think I mentioned this a couple of Wednesdays ago or something, there's a priest by the name of Father James Blunt, and I met him at a retreat a little while ago, and he seems like a modern-day Padre Pio, just loaded with spiritual gifts of reading souls, seeing angels, healing, exorcising demons, bilocating even, and all these things. If you listen to some people say these fantastic stories, then you say, but they can't be lying. They're too reputable. Hold on. There we go. Sorry about that. Summer cold coming along, and it's not even summer yet. Okay, but let's go back with the basics of Fatima, and then we'll sneak into what is called the 3 days of darkness, right? Yeah, you're familiar with that. It's just amazing. It's what really scares me now, I guess you could say, and I just want to say, it's good to be a little scared in that sense. So when the Holy See, when the Vatican released the text of the 83-year-old Third Secret, it was as part of a booklet prepared by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and I think it was Cardinal Ratzinger that was head of that congregation at that time. It was called the Message of Fatima. And here's Jim Atkins. I wasn't the only one surprised at its contents. It did not contain prophecies of the end of the world or of a great apostasy or many other things it had been rumored to contain. However, I was not disappointed. Relieved would be a better word. It gave me a new appreciation of the church's struggle with communism and of the current pontiff showing me the view from heaven. The struggle against communism. I think that's the most important takeaway for us here today as we contemplate what may or may not be the interpretation of a certain vision, the church's struggle with communism, and especially as that ideology is taking hold more and more here in the United States. That's the biggest takeaway that we cannot, should not let go of. We should be deeply interested in that. And for that reason, I'm just going to mention, say a prayer for the canonization of Archbishop Fulton Sheehan, who many of us spent hours listening to, watching on TV and on YouTube. We can say YouTube now, but it was the boob tube or the regular TV back then, and back in the 50s and 60s. He often offered warnings about the ideology of communism and how it's dangerous for our nation, the United States of America, for all that. So going back to Atkins' article, at Our Lady's third appearance on July 13th, this is back in 1917, right? Lucia was shown the secret of Fatima. She reportedly turned pale and cried out with fear, calling Our Lady by name. There was a thunderclap, and the vision disappeared. The children again saw the Virgin on September 13th. In the sixth and final appearance, on October 13th, the dramatic outward sign was given to those gathered to witness the event. After the clouds of a rainstorm parted, numerous witnesses, some as far as away as 40 miles, reported seeing the sun dance, spin, and send out colored rays of light. Most of us have kind of heard that aspect or that part of the story. So World War I was still going on in October of 1917. And also the Spanish flu, the epidemic, the earlier version of the coronavirus, right? The Spanish flu swept the globe. It erupted in the United States because many soldiers were in the army going around the world fighting World War I. The Spanish flu killed an estimated 20 million people. Among them were Francisco and Jacinta, who contracted the illness in 1918 and died in 1919 and 1920. That's when Lucia entered the convent. So in 1929, at the convent chapel in Spain, Lucia had another mystical experience in which she saw the Blessed Trinity and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary told her, The moment has come in which God asks the Holy Father, in union with all the bishops of the world, to make the consecration to Russia, to my Immaculate Heart, promising to save it by this means. So this is after World War I ended, before World War II started, of course. And the warning is against Russia, even though Russia kind of became an ally of the United States, especially in World War II, because the greater enemy was Hitler and Nazi Germany, right? Brings to mind the insight that General Patton had. Obviously, he's one of the great American generals. He wanted to, once Hitler was destroyed, or Berlin captured, and obviously Hitler committed suicide, Patton wanted to keep marching and go and take over Russia. Wanted to keep the war going and wage a fight against those allies who helped defeat Nazi Germany. Obviously, history shows that we didn't do that. And Patton had some insights that could have, should have been followed up with. Boy, that's a mystery of history, right? What could have been, what should have been. Anyways, okay, so right before World War II, on the orders of her superior, Sister Lucia writes four memoirs of the Fatima events. The third of these memoirs, she recorded the first two parts of the secret, explaining that there was a third part she was not yet permitted by heaven to reveal. In the fourth memoir, she added a sentence to the end of the second part of the secret. In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved. This is the sentence. This sentence has been the basis for much speculation that the third part of the secret concerned a great apostasy. Sister Lucia also noted that in writing the secret of the fourth memory, with the exception of that part of the secret which I am not permitted to reveal at present, I shall say everything. I shall not knowingly omit anything, though I suppose I may forget just a few small details of minor importance. So upon the publication of the third and fourth memoirs, the world became aware of the secret of Fatima and its three parts, including Our Lady's request that Russia be consecrated or entrusted to her Immaculate Heart by the Pope and the bishops of the world. So Pope Pius XII in 1942, so this is during World War II, he consecrates not only Russia, but the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What was missing, though, was the involvement of the world's bishops. So in other words, Pius XII didn't really ask all the bishops to join him in doing what he did. So in 1943, the bishop in Portugal ordered Sister Lucia to put the third secret of Fatima in writing. She did not feel at liberty to do so until the next year, 1944. It was then placed a wax-sealed envelope on which Sister Lucia wrote that it should not be opened until 1960. So she writes that on top of the envelope, not part of the message. Some Blessed Mother didn't say, do not reveal this till 1960, but Sister Lucia kind of thinks, here I think we get a little bit of that in the rest of this article. The secret remained with the Bishop of Portugal until 1957, when it was requested, along with photocopies of Sister Lucia's other writings, by the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. According to Cardinal Bertone, the secret was read by both John the 23rd and Paul the 6th. John Paul II, for his part, asked for the envelope containing the third part of the secret following the assassination attempt on May 13th, 1981. So he read it sometime between July 18th and August 11th of 1981. It is significant that John Paul II did not read The Secret until after the assassination attempt was made on his life. He notes in his book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, excuse me, he says, and thus we come to May 13th, 1981, when I was wounded by gunshots fired in St. Peter's Square. At first, I did not pay attention to the fact that the assassination attempt had occurred on the exact anniversary of the day Mary appeared to the three children at Fatima in Portugal and spoke to them the words that now, at the end of this century, here's the key part, seem to be close to their fulfillment. So he's reading that. How could he not be thinking that he was the bishop dressed in white being shot? Of course, now there's the argument is, oh, well, he didn't die. It seems like the Pope dressed in white in the vision died, but it doesn't actually say that, actually, too. So it could be very accurate to say that it was what was going to happen. Okay, after reading The Secret, the Holy Father realized the connection between the assassination attempt and Fatima. He has since consistently attributed his survival of the gunshot wound to the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. It was a mother's hand that guided the bullet's path, he said. And in his throes, the Pope halted at the threshold of death. Speaking of himself in the third person, as it often happens. So let's do another little break here so we can continue with this and then kind of at least share some of the basic things that are at least the pieces of the puzzle. I can't solve the puzzles for you, but I can give you the pieces of the puzzle that are out there about the 3 days of darkness. And I guess, to be honest, if we don't have fear of the Lord, we don't have real faith in a time like today, right? So we could put the third secret of Fatima aside, but we can't put the struggle of the church with atheistic communism aside. That we cannot do. And if we do so, we do at great risk. That's my take, and I'm sticking with it. Okay, I'm Father Tom Coyes. I'm guest host on The Winds of Change. We are the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM and WNDZ AM 750.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening. The Winds of Change.
Can you imagine living a life without love, marriage, intimacy, sex, having children, or friendship? Of course not. I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why do we desire these things so much? It is because God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a union and communion of persons who united himself with us in what the Scripture describes as a mystical marriage, a fruitful self-giving. Scripture also says that we are made in God's image and likeness, so we too are called to become a union and communion of persons in fruitful self-giving. This is why we cannot imagine living without marriage, intimacy, sex, having children, and friendship. Pope John Paul II said in his Theology of the Body that these are the very things that make us most like God. To find out more about the Theology of the Body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Talking about the secrets of Fatima and prophecies and predictions and what they mean for us. I want to continue. I'm using an article from Catholic Answers, a great website we should all check on every now and then. Joseph Ratzinger also read the secrets, and obviously he became Pope. But as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, he pointed out that the key to the apparition of Fatima is its call to repentance and conversion. In one sense, you can say, well, I can't go wrong with that interpretation, right? It's basic. It's basic, but it eludes people. Why do we need to repent? I don't really think I need conversion, etc. That's what is a dangerous spiritual attitude, my friends, I guess you could say. Cardinal Ratzinger goes on to say, all three parts of the secret serve to motivate the individual to repentance, and they do so in a dramatic way. The first part of the secret, the vision of hell, is the most important, for it reveals to individuals the tragic consequences of failure to repent and what awaits them in the invisible world if they are not converted. The second part, Blessed Mother also says, you have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. Speaking of devotion to the Immaculate Heart as a means of salvation is not part of our cultural vocabulary and is easily misunderstood. Some anti-Catholics have even taken it as a false gospel, replacing the gospel of Christ. It is no such thing, as Cardinal Ratzinger explains. According to Matthew 5, verse 8, the Immaculate Heart is a heart which, with God's grace, has come to perfect interior union and therefore sees God. It's part of the Beatitudes, right? Matthew 5. To be devoted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary means, therefore, to embrace this attitude of heart, which makes the fiat, your will be done, that's the little Latin word, right, fiat, coming from the basic word to do, thy will be done, the defining center of one's whole life. It might be objected that we should not place a human being between ourselves and Christ, but then we remember that Paul did not hesitate to say to his communities, imitate me. Right? We get that. Corinthians, Philippians, Thessalonians, many examples where Paul is putting himself as a mediator. Boy, that's one of the most beautiful doctrines, can you say?
You strategies. Just wrinkled my brain, man.
The mediation of grace. Mary is the mediator of grace. And I love to point that out to people at weddings. If there's any sense that you don't need mediation of grace, you don't need Mary or any of the saints, you go directly to God for your inspiration, for your motivation, for your wisdom, etc. But if there is any moment in a person's life when you should be greatly, greatly open to the mediation of grace through another person, another human being, it's when you say those I do's at the altar, right? I do, I want, I'm marrying you because I see you as a mediator of grace to me, and I want to be a mediator of grace to you. How can you not look at marriage as a mediation of grace. If God is real, God is love, and you want to know God, you want to know love, if I'm going to love you in marriage, then I'm going to be a conduit of love to you. And I will be a conduit of God's love to you if my love is pure, good. Hold on 1 second. Well, there we are again. Okay, so let's go segue in. Now, to somewhat put aside, I don't know if I want to say it that way, put aside the visions of Fatima, because in one sense, if we're taking John Paul II's and Sister Lucia's word for it, things have kind of happened, and what was predicted happened, and now we're beyond. We're still in growing difficulties because the bottom battle between the Catholic faith and atheistic communism is taking a very new twist. So here's Padre Pio has wrote some letters too. We could kind of assume that he had divine inspirations, right? We can kind of assume that. I don't know, Nick, do you want to take a break now before I segue into this? So we can get our last break in, right? Then we can come back. I want to share with you some of the major points from, there's two letters from Padre Pio, both from 1950, right at the end of the World War II. And yet the warning is there. Don't be so...
Danger, Will Robinson! Danger! No, Will Robinson! Danger! Yeah,
this great fight against the Axis powers of Nazi Germany, Japan, and Mussolini in Italy. We won that war, but there's still a different war, a spiritual war, that if we lower lower our interest in what God wants us. God doesn't want us to ignore. And I think you could sort of put it in the context of, okay, we want our freedom, but freedom has to be used according to the truth of who we are. Freedom devoid of a sense of what is true about man, true about our human nature, true about life, and the truth about God and the metaphysical realities of heaven, hell, and purgatory, right? Without those, the freedom won will produce new calamities. And that's where I think Padre Pio's letters referring to the 3 days of darkness, I'll just be honest, they scare me a little bit. So let's take another break and we'll come back with that part. I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You're listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM and WNDZ AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button
or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you. Here we are in a mystical hour trying to appreciate how God is trying to help us. And of course, God could do almost anything, right? Can't contradict himself. He can't make 2 + 2 = 5. He can't make what true love is equal to what hate is. He's consistent in his understanding, his definition of himself, which is love. But he could change the world in many different ways. He needs our cooperation. He needs our participation. You know, it kind of reminds me again, so much of the spiritual life can be paralleled into love of husband and wife, right? There's one, there's a couple I'm trying to help, actually for a number of years now even. But they're divorced, and it seems like they should be able to get back together again. The attitude of the man, I hesitate. He often takes the stand that that the annulment process is a sham, that the church should not be granting annulments, and I would certainly accept the fact that we grant too many of them. But that's kind of like a commentary on how poorly our human love is. When he talks to me, he's mad because I represent the church, and I'm not ordering his wife to go back to him. I'm not ordering his wife to love him. It feels a strange kind of request that a man would use the church to order his wife to come back to him. There is that element of freedom that is respected. And when I talk to him, I often try ask him to think about what he can change about himself so that her fear of going back to him could be alleviated. And inevitably, he just keeps going back to the sham of the annulment process. It's a sticky, sticky, sticky thing. And I wish I could order someone to love someone else. Just doesn't seem to work that way. I as a priest can't do it, and God himself can't do it. But what is needed is an appreciation of how and where we went wrong, right? So here's, in 1950, so this is just, you know, a little right after World War II, Padre Pio, who was very much involved in World War II. As a matter of fact, he a lot of his friends became soldiers in Italy, and Padre Pio even asked, "I'll take as much pain as you can throw at me, Lord, if I could save souls, and I could turn this bloody war around, as it were." And so, but in terms of the 3 days of darkness, which we got Padre Pio talking about it, we got Sister Faustina Kowalska of the Divine Mercy. It's referred to in her her diary. There's another mystic by the name of Marie Julie Jahina, J-A-H-E-N-N-Y, Jehina. And another mystic by the name of Anna Marie Taigi, T-A-I-G-I, Taigi. And I'm sure there's several others. I'd be very curious to hear what Father Blount of contemporary church world would say about the 3 days of darkness. But here's what Padre Pio writes. This is back in 1950. He says, what will happen is in the morning the sun will, the bright light of the sun will go dark. So we're supposed to cover our windows. We're not supposed to go outside. We're supposed to pray with our arms outstretched or prostrate. And rain and fire will come down, causing great panic around the whole world. So sort of reminds you of the Passover, doesn't it, from the Old Testament? Don't go outside. The angel of death is coming. In the letter, he also said, God will want us to take care of animals because they're innocent, and we don't want them to be destroyed. So, and he says, God will give us a few signs. And I don't know if this is a sign or just a warning. He says, if you step outside during these 3 days of darkness, you will perish. A dreadful punishment will bear witness to the times. My angels are ready to punish, especially those who mock me. Natural disasters will occur for 2 days, like earthquakes and storms, tornadoes. It will begin on a very cold night, which is interesting. I guess it would happen in the winter. Of course, depending on what hemisphere you're in on the world, obviously winter is different on the northern hemisphere than the southern hemisphere, but be that as it may. Those who hope in me will have nothing to fear. That happens. Here's my thought. I don't know when it will happen. I don't know if it'll happen. But if it happens, I'm going to close my windows right away and light my beeswax candles, right? The candles that will last. On that very cold night, the wind will roar and thunderbolts will appear in the sky. So kneel before a crucifix. And don't look outside during the earthquakes, because the anger of God is holy. The wind will carry poisonous gas. Some innocent will die, but they will be martyrs. The earthquake and fire will stop after 3 days. On the fourth day, angels will descend and spread peace. Here's an interesting thing about nations. It says, Padre Pio says, souls in Belgium, Switzerland, and Spain have received these messages, which I guess you can also say in Italy, if that's where Padre Pio was. Soon a more terrible catastrophe will come upon the earth. The war of 1950 will be an introduction to these things. I don't know if he's referring to the Korean War. I don't think that makes too much sense, but could be the fact that he refers to a war of 1950 might render you some skepticism. So the light in the morning sun will be replaced by black darkness. No one shall leave the house or look out the window. The prayer, who is like unto God, shall serve as protection. And on the fourth day when the sun returns, it will be springtime. Powerful, isn't it? Yes, it is. So hope you're a little have that fear of the Lord in you that would say it's possible. Let's put our trust in the Lord and know that the battle is still around us. God bless you. I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. We are the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI 88.5 FM, and WNDZ 750 AM. And you see the winds have changed. Meaningless thought,
the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.